Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Board Games Daily, your daily dose of tabletop gaming discussion on Anchor. Now welcome your hosts, Jeremiah Isley, Scott Firestone, and AJ Skifstad.
Hey everybody, it's Firestone here with Board Games Daily. It is Wednesday, July, what is today, the 12th? The 12th! And today we're going to be continuing our discussion on AI art in board games. This is surely a thing that's already been in place, and our thoughts on it, and then AJ is going to talk about what he's played this week, and I think Jeremiah is going to reach out for some ideas on Game Night Cage Fight. So thanks for tuning in for a few minutes here. We like to keep these short and sweet and just give you some news or some reviews or a topic and keep you going about your day. Thanks for joining us and we'll talk to you later. Hey everyone, it's Firestone here weighing in on AI art in board games. And I know this is something that's already happening. We keep hearing every day about how companies are getting rid of people in an effort to save money. And even when I was in the publishing business, we got rid of our copy editors. And they basically were like, well, just be careful. So we didn't have people checking for grammar, checking for spelling, fact-checking things. It was just be careful. And then just this week, we hear about the New York Times getting rid of their sports section and going with a company, I can't remember the name of the company now, that they acquired, but basically they're like, we got to cut costs. And so we're gonna get rid of our entire sports section. Ridiculous. So this sort of thing is surely happening in board games, right? Because the cost of shipping and things like that have gone up. And so where can we cut corners? Ah, you know what's really expensive? Art. So if we use AI art, we can get away with better profit margins on our games. And so this is probably already happening and I don't like it. I have good friends who are artists and I know that this is eating into their time, effort, money. It's taking things from someone created, using it without their permission. It's just ugly and I hate it. And I don't know what to do about it. It's probably the future. I mean, I don't think it's going away. I think that the people who are gonna survive are gonna be the ones who can use this. So if you're a writer, how can you not use AI exclusively, but how can you come alongside it and use it to enhance what you already do? Same with artists. What can you do to enhance? Maybe you use it to come up with ideas and then still create something on your own. I don't know. But the point is, I don't like it in games. I don't like it in anything. I hate the idea of AI, even if it is here to stay. And I don't know how we can come alongside, and maybe board game companies are willing to still pay somebody and then pay somebody who's I don't know. I don't even know what to think about this. It's ugly and I hate it. Those are my thoughts. What are your thoughts on AI art, AI writing? I mean, there are people getting papers published only using AI and getting A's on them. There are people who are having pastors who are having AI write their sermons for them. I mean, it's crazy stuff like that. So what are your thoughts on it? We'd love to hear from you. Have a great day.
Hey everyone, it's Jeremiah and AJ. We're both here on a call doing this recording for this section because this segment we are talking about what we've played. We're doing a little game table recap. And this week we played a lot of stuff, but what we really want to talk about is Mother of Frankenstein from Arcane Wonders.
Mother of Frankenstein.
Mother of Frankenstein. We're both very excited about this, and we went into Origins. This was, I think it was probably released there, or like very like early availability at Origins. So we were all really excited about it.
Yeah.
There's actually myself, AJ, and our buddy Nate. We all went in sort of three ways. So we bought all three volumes of the game. And I guess let me tell you a little bit about the game in terms of that, so you kind of know what we're talking about. Mother of Frankenstein is three volumes. I guess the best way to describe it that might help people latch on as quick is it's almost like an escape room type game. But the one thing that's very cool about it is it is a very story driven. You're reading through sort of narrative and solving clues and kind of getting to the next part of the game by solving clues and finding clues. But there's no like race against the clock, which I really enjoyed. And it literally said in the rules, hey, you're not racing the clock. Don't separate out so that you work on this task and we'll work on this task. Because it literally said, if you do that, then you will miss part of the story. You will miss part of the experience. And that's not the spirit of the game. That's not how we've designed this to be, which I really appreciated. I love escape room games and exit games, but the whole like time crunch thing sort of like dictating how well you did kind of seems pushy. I don't know, to me. But so the games, it just starts, you get a short biography of Mary Shelley, who's the writer, author of Frankenstein, and you get a letter from her to her son. And I won't give you much more detail other than, you know, to say like that kicks it off. And then you take all of the contents of the box. They're made to play in three sessions per volume. So each one is about 1 to 2 hours. So all told, what is that? That's like 18 hours?
9 hours maybe, or?
Well, if you did all three volumes.
Well, I mean, like you said, it was great. We had been chomping at the bit to get to it, and it sat for a couple weeks after Origins. And I honestly, with how we play games, I thought it was going to sit longer. And I came down from letting a couple guys out who were leaving game night, and you and Nate had it set up, and I was just elated. I was so excited. And but I would agree with you. One thing that was so cool about it was it does say that there's this narrative going on, and it's almost like you're experiencing a story that was only meant for somebody in particular, but you're getting to see all of it and read all of it as you're solving these puzzles. And there was one point when we were playing, and I think you, Nate, and another one of our buddies was solving some mysteries, and I thought I was a little over my head on the puzzle. And so I started reading some of the letters and some of the text, and I was like, whoa, guys, we got to slow down. We got to take this in, because this is good. And I felt like if we don't take that in, we're going to miss the juice and the meat of just the heart of the game. And it was fun, because when we got to the end, all of us were like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that, and we want to keep going, we don't want to stop, but we, you know, fortunately a couple of us have some discipline in our lives and we're able to go home. Otherwise we would have kept going.
There was a time in my life when I definitely would have been like, we're doing the next session, like. And but yeah, it was easily a quarter after 1 a.m. and we looked at each other and we had finished, you know, that session. We got through, we achieved everything. And I think that was the cool thing. It was like the puzzles and the things that we were doing were clever. Like, they weren't super easy, but it was very satisfying and it was achievable. I didn't feel like, and the rule, the introduction sheet, you know, that says like, read this before you do anything else. It says there's clues, like you can go onto their site and they're very granular clues. Like, so if you're stuck on a specific thing, it says that you're not going to blow the whole part of the story by checking out that clue. But, you know, they say, oh, you just use the clues, use them. And we didn't have to, which was great. I was really happy about that. But I did feel like there was a fun challenge there. And like you said, when we got done, I was like, oh, I don't want to stop. I really want to keep going on this, but it is after 1 a.m. and yeah. We all have responsibilities.
But it was just a neat experience all around. I can't wait to get it back to the table. It didn't leave you feeling like your brain was completely fried like some of those exit games do, and that's okay sometimes. But I felt like we were all just so satisfied at the end.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was only one quarter of a how many part three box series.
What did we figure it out? Yeah, it was like a third of a third. Yeah, so very, very cool stuff, and really excited to see where this goes. And I think we should wrap it up there. We'll talk about it a little more later this week, and we'll be back with more. Stay tuned for Board Games Daily, powered by Theology of Games. Hey everyone, Jeremiah here. Yeah, we talked about it last episode. It's coming back next episode. It's Game Night Cage Fight. We're super excited to bring it back, but we're going to throw it out there on Twitter. We're going to put it out there in social media. What two games do you want to see going at it? Let us know. Is it something new versus something old? Two new ones that have come out? Maybe two that you're excited about coming out at Gen Con coming up here in a few weeks? You tell us. We'll throw them in the ring. We'll see who comes out on top. All right, you can hit us up at theologyofgames.com, or you can go on Twitter at theologyofgames. Message us through the Spotify app. Leave a voice message there. Let us know. All right, peace out. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today. Board Games Daily is powered by TheologyOfGames.com. Don't forget to head over to TheologyOfGames.com to check out all we have to offer, including written reviews, our YouTube channel, and two other podcasts. If you enjoyed this show, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you're listening. Thanks for listening, and go put a game on the table.